Good morning to each one this morning. I greet you all in the name of Christ. It's a wonderful day to be gathered together and worship our great God once again. I wish God's blessing too on each one of you, wherever you find yourself this morning, whatever place and group you're a part of, as you worship God there. I trust God can be honored in our gatherings, wherever they may be. For a message this morning, I would like to look at a familiar New Testament story. We find that story in Luke chapter 19. You can turn with me there if you can. Very familiar story. It's the only place I believe we find this in our Bibles. And it's a story that probably most of the children have heard and know, and probably most of us adults remember from our childhood as well. And that is the story of Zacchaeus. It's a very simple, short story, and I will read it at this time. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. Luke 19, verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. So that's the story of Zacchaeus. It's what we have in our Bibles. And it's, like I said, it's very simple, easy to understand story. This morning, we would like to spend our time here, dig into this a little bit and see what we can learn, see what practical advice is here for us to learn from. And I believe there is much we can learn from the story of Zacchaeus and from Jesus here. The title I've given this morning's message is Lessons from the Zacchaeus Story. What comes to your mind when you think about Zacchaeus? Maybe something that comes to your mind is the fact that he was a short little man. He wasn't as tall as the average person. It says he was little of stature. And probably to most of us, the children's song quickly comes to mind. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. Climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. It's a song that resonates with the children and probably most of us. So what else do we know about Zacchaeus? Well, it tells us here that Zacchaeus was from Jericho. In verses 1 and 2, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and there was there a man named Zacchaeus. That was his hometown. It seems like this city of Jericho was a fairly big city. It was also a fairly prosperous city at this time, it would seem. And my studies would have found that Jericho in this time was one of the few cities in the area that produced a product called balsam. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that correctly. I'm not familiar with it. I'm told it's used in medicines, perfumes, stuff like that. was a product of a tree or a shrub that was found in the area there. And it was a source of income for the area and probably made the area prosperous, and probably a source that put money in Zacchaeus' pockets as well. Verse 2, the end there, it says, he was rich. It says he was chief among the publicans. What's that word publican mean? It's not really a word we use so much today, is it? It simply means tax collector. He was one of the chief of the tax collectors there in Jericho. Not only was he a tax collector, he was the head of the department, it seemed. And as we probably know from studying the Bible, the Jews hated these people. They hated the tax collectors. They were just despised. And why was that? We might say maybe tax collectors are negatively thought of in any society, a little like many in our society would view the the IRS in a negative way. Maybe they don't like to pay taxes, and the IRS represents those in charge of collecting taxes. But I believe the tax collectors in this setting were especially hated because the Jews viewed them as traitors. The Jews here were under Roman rule, and these tax collectors were fellow Jews who were helping the Roman cause by collecting the tax money for them. And the Jews just resented the Roman rule totally and any person associated with it. Furthermore, these tax collectors, it seems, were just notorious for their dishonesty. It seems like their dealings were such that they kept the Roman government happy with the funds they collected, but they figured out ways to cheat their fellow Jews and put money in their own pockets by doing so. How that was all was, I'm not sure, but it seems likely that Zacchaeus would have been one such person. I recall as a young boy listening to some audiobooks, it would have been on tape, I believe, that my grandmother had. It was audiobooks of Bible stories, and you had a book, you could follow along and look at the pictures as you listen to the story. And I very well remember the title of the one story was Zacchaeus the Cheater. And I believe that's probably an accurate description of Zacchaeus. And being head of the Jericho tax collectors, it probably, we don't know, but probably added to his profits and probably the possibility of him profiting from the dishonesty. And so the Jews hated them. And I think it's interesting to me how different times in the Gospels it refers to the publicans, how it refers to the publicans. And one such place I had found was in Matthew 9, verses 10 and 11. I'll just read what it says there. It says, "And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples." Notice that phrase. Publicans and sinners. When the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, "Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners?" And there's several times we find that in the Gospels, I believe, that phrase, publicans and sinners. Why are they always put together like that? It seems like it was just common language in that time to put these tax collectors in the same category with the sinners. Here in this passage, in Luke 19, I believe you can about just feel the resentment and disgust for this man coming out of this crowd here when Jesus told Zacchaeus, "Make haste and come down, for today I'm coming to your house." And what does it say? It says they all murmured. It doesn't say they murmured, or some people. It says they all murmured. It seemed like it was just a general, pretty much the whole crowd complained about it, that he was gone to be guest with this sinner. So I don't believe Zacchaeus was a well-liked person here. He was rich, it says, but I don't believe his riches had made him friends. But you know, as low down and dishonest and much of a traitor as he might have been, I see here in verse 3, there's a trait. There's something that's coming through here that we should all have, I believe. It says, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was. I see here a desire that everyone should have, shouldn't we? To see Jesus. Friend, this morning, have you sought Jesus? Have you sought Jesus for your life? Jesus has for you something that money can't buy. You know, Zacchaeus, he had the money, he had the riches, but he wasn't happy. He wanted to see Jesus. Have you sought for Jesus? Are you continuing to seek Jesus? Are you seeking his direction in your life every day? Are you seeking to meet with him by reading his word? You know, as Christians, as we have sought Jesus in the past and received the blood of Jesus to cleanse us from sin, we've done that. But I believe we need to continue on with the desire to see Jesus, don't we? It's something we never are through with. Blessed, it says in Matthew 5, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Fellow Christian, do you have a hunger and thirst for the Word of God, for being with the people of God, a longing for to see Jesus when we get to heaven? Do you have a hunger and thirst after righteousness? In Job 23, verse 12b says, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. We all like to eat, don't we? We all like good food, things that taste good. Now, do you and I, do we desire the Word of God like that? It says Zacchaeus sought to see Jesus, who he was. You know, maybe he was just curious at this point. I don't know. Maybe he just wanted to see this famous person passing through town. I don't know. It would be a little like if President Donald Trump came through Romulus here. If we thought there was a chance we might see him, we might be there. I'm not sure if that's how it was here. But he sought to see Jesus. And I believe these words are key words in the story of Zacchaeus, are they not? How different the story would be if he had no desire to see Jesus whatsoever and just went about his everyday life. I believe his determination here is to be admired, isn't it? He didn't let the obstacles here discourage him in his goal. What were the obstacles? Well, he couldn't see because of the crowd. He was too short. He couldn't see above the people. But he didn't let that stop him, did he? He found a way to climb above what was keeping him from seeing Jesus. And this morning, I see here a challenge for each of us. What is keeping you from seeing Jesus? Sinner friend, what obstacle are you allowing in your life that prevents you from finding Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Is there something more dear to you that's causing you to hold out on finding Jesus? Get rid of that obstacle. Climb above it. Christian friend, this morning, is there something that's coming between you and Jesus? Is the press of a busy life keeping you from your personal time with God? Do you have other distractions that are pressing on you and keeping you from seeing Jesus? And allow me to make a little play on words here with this word, press. Is the press today, as in the literal news media that we have, has it gotten your attention so much to the point that the fear and worry about what you see, about what you read, about what might happen, prevents you from seeing Jesus as you ought to? Do you spend as much time with the Word of God as you spend scanning the news today? I would challenge us in that. And I would add that I believe in the news today, sad as it may be, there is probably more fear of the coronavirus than there is a fear of the Lord God, the Lord who is in control of it and everything. And so I repeat, is there anything keeping you from Jesus? Verse 4, and he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And as a side note here, I'm told that in modern day Jericho, there's an old, old sycamore tree called the Zacchaeus tree. And local tradition would hold that this is the tree Zacchaeus climbed. Whether or not that is true, I don't know. Some other sources would debate whether that actually could be. But at any rate, it gives people, tourists, a glimpse of how it might have been. Verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus. You know, Jesus was in a crowd of people here. It was just packed. People were everywhere. When Jesus got to where Zacchaeus was, he looked up and saw him. I don't believe this was just chance now, was it? The point I would make from this is that Jesus finds the one who is seeking. The ones who are seeking for an answer in their life, he finds that person. Jeremiah 29, verse 13 says, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And verse 10 here of this chapter in Luke, it says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And when Jesus goes searching for something, I believe he finds it. He finds the searching soul. Jesus called Zacchaeus by name here. He knows each one of us personally. And we aren't just a number to him. Imagine the surprise that Zacchaeus had when Jesus stopped at that tree and said, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm coming to your house today. He probably couldn't believe his ears. He'd never seen Jesus before, and here Jesus just walked up and called him by name. Jesus knows each one of us by name. What a blessing that is. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep, he says in John 10, verse 14. The end of verse 5 there, he says, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And I think this morning that Zacchaeus can be a type of you and I, of every person. You know, we all, like Zacchaeus, we were sinners. We're not worthy of God's grace and forgiveness. But Jesus has called you and I. He has called each one of us. And he's still calling. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is calling those who are seeking rest for their souls. Put your name in here in verse 5 in place of Zacchaeus' name. Make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. He's calling each one of us. He said, make haste. I believe he was saying, in essence, Zacchaeus, it's high time for you to be done with that old self, that old lying, cheating, stealing, hateful life that has been your past. My friends, this morning, make haste. Jesus wants to abide at your house today. He wants to abide in your heart today. Salvation is offered to you today. Make haste. Don't wait. Jesus wants to clean up your life now. Today is the time. It's Satan that says, do it another day. Give your life to God next year. Live another year for you. You can make that apology to your brother next week. There's no rush. Jesus says, make haste and come down. I want to abide in your heart today. You know, Zacchaeus, it says, make haste and come down. Zacchaeus had to come down out of that tree to meet Jesus. In a personal way, I believe. And you know, friends, it's the same way for us today, is it not? It's the same way for you and I. Jesus calls us to come down. Come down from that pedestal of pride that we've lifted ourselves up to. You and I, we can't meet Jesus up there. We need to come down. All pride needs to go. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor in life, it says in Proverbs. It also says, God resisteth the proud. Jesus says, come down. Leave that old self behind. In verse 6, it says that he did just that. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And I believe that's a part of every Christian experience, is it not? Jesus requires obedience and cheerful obedience. It says he received Jesus joyfully. Is there joy in your life today, my friend? Are you a happy person? Is there a smile on your face? I believe there should be. And I believe if the joy isn't there, you need to ask yourself, are you still up in the tree of your pride in yourself? Is the joy not in your life because you haven't received Jesus? You know, if you've received Jesus in your life, the joy ought to be there because it's just one of the fruits of a heart that has received Jesus, isn't it? And it says Zacchaeus received him. You know, Zacchaeus was seeking to see Jesus. And Jesus found him. And Jesus called him. Zacchaeus, come down. Called him down from the tree. But you know, Zacchaeus still had a choice to make. It was his choice to either receive or reject Jesus. And it's still that way today, isn't it? Jesus is looking for you and I today. He wants to come into our life. He wants to dwell with us. But it's still a choice for you and I. Jesus isn't going to force open the door of your heart. It has to be a choice. Revelation 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. Have you received Jesus? Is there joy in your life? In this story of Zacchaeus, I believe there's also much we can learn from Jesus and his example to us. And there's probably much more, many more lessons we could pull from this than that I will share here this morning. I encourage you to study this account for yourself. But we see the mercy and forgiveness of God here, don't we? We see His love in reaching out to Zacchaeus, that sinful man, that tax collector that everyone hated, that person that just wasn't a fun person to be around at all. Friend, this morning, you know, each of us, you and I, were just the same as Zacchaeus, weren't we? Jesus searched us out when we were dead in sins, the Bible says. It says in Romans 5, verse 8, God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11, it says, and such were some of you, after a long list of sins. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Praise God this morning. You and I were called, just like Zacchaeus, from our old life and saved by the blood of Jesus. This morning, I would like for us to take note of Jesus' example for us here relating to the lost and needy souls. You know, Jesus didn't mind being friends with this unloved tax collector, this man nobody liked, that they all murmured about when he went to go with him to his house. And I have a feeling that crowd of people probably just thinned out quite a bit after Zacchaeus and Jesus walked off together. Possibly so. Christian friends, what about you and I? What about you and I? Do you care about the needy people that you meet? You know, we tend to like to be friends with the nice people. People that are friendly to us. People that are nice to be around. But do you care about that person that just isn't that likable? Person that is not fun to be around. They're just hard to like. You probably know someone like that. I know I do. There's a man I know that's like that. He's mean, miserable, and grouchy on any given day. And if you ask him how he's doing, he will probably tell you just that. How do I relate to him? Can I show the love to him that Jesus would have me to? Can I show love to him like Jesus showed to Zacchaeus? You know, Romans 12, verse 16. And I should have shared that along with we all like to be friends with nice folks, people that are friendly to us. It says, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. I think it's just pretty natural, pretty native to us to like high things, if you will, important things, to not want to associate with the low down folks, the unlikable, the poor, the so-called lower class of people. My friends, this morning, I'd just like to say, I don't believe there's anything like a lower class of people. All people are equal before God. The blood of Jesus is for everyone, even though there may be those who live on a lower standard of living. But all are equal before God. Do you care about the needs around you? The other day, when that heavy rainstorm came through, there was a guy driving by our place. I wasn't at home. But his motorcycle, and the storm got bad. And there was hail, and he was getting hurt, I believe. He wasn't prepared for that. He was getting hurt by the hail, and he parked and tried to find shelter in the trees nearby there. And my wife hollered out the door at him and told him to come in. And when I got home, well, she wasn't sure if she quite did the right thing. She asked me, did I do the right thing by doing this, by letting this fellow in? Somebody she didn't even know. And I said, of course you did. I hope you didn't hesitate. Friends, this morning, you and I, as followers of Jesus Christ, we are the hands and feet of Jesus. Do you believe that this morning? We're probably the only Bible that many folks read. Do you believe that? I say, if we feel we can't help that person in need, open the door for him, give him a meal, give him a ride across town, even just giving him a drink of cold water, simply because that person is filthy, looks like he didn't shower all week, smells horrible. He might make my nice truck dirty. I might contract the coronavirus from him. You put the description in there. I say if we cannot help people and make excuses like these, we've lost the real purpose for us being here as children of God. And I like to just challenge myself and all of us in that. Let's be the hands and feet, the boots on the ground, if you will, for Jesus today. And I'm thankful to be a part of a church, many brothers and sisters who are doing that. I'm blessed by that. And I was aware that there was a brother, a local brother that was involved in distributing food to those in town that were needing it. And God bless you for that. Let's continue to be the hands and feet for Jesus today. Let's learn from Jesus' example here. In closing here, verse 9 and 10, Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. I believe this day was a real change in Zacchaeus' life. No longer was he Zacchaeus the cheater. He was a different man. He changed his ways. Jesus changed his life. And I believe Zacchaeus carried out the resolutions that he made here in verse 8. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, the song goes, and I believe he was in the physical way, but also spiritually as well in the beginning of the story. I believe he was of small character. He probably would not have hesitated to cheat, to profit by someone else, by dishonesty. But I believe that till the end of the story here, through Jesus Christ, Zacchaeus was not just a little man, but he was a great big man. So these are some of my thoughts from this familiar account. And I hope that this familiar account could be a blessing to you as we looked at it here. May God bless each one of you. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer.